You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. The message is entitled Famous But Nameless and is taken from the Bible passage Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The sermon was given on January the 17th, 2016 at the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, the Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Well, turn, please, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 2, a familiar story, and this message is entitled Famous But Nameless. We're beginning with verse 1 of Mark chapter 2. And it reads like this. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as even around the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried by four. And when they couldn't come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, Son, your sins be forgiven you. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? Which do you think it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Your sins be forgiven you, or arise and take up your bed and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he turned then to the sick of the palsy and he said, Arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. And immediately he got up, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I heard about two men who loved to hike and to backpack. And they just became buddies doing that, and as often as they could, they went backpacking and hiking trails and sometimes camping out, and it got to the place where at least once a year they tried to take a long and extensive hike. Now, this particular year found them in the mountains of Wyoming, where they were going to spend nearly a week hiking the mountainous trails there. And on the second day, as they were hiking on one of those mountain trails, they rounded a bend and, to their dismay and surprise, they were staring at a huge, ferocious grizzly bear. They looked at each other. Their knees began to knock as that bear raised up ferociously. Well, one of the hikers immediately threw off his backpack. He sat down, he unzipped his backpack, and he began feverishly working through his backpack, finding his tennis shoes. He's unlacing his hiking boots, throwing them off, and his buddy's standing there beside him looking at that bear and looking down at him. And he said, well, what are you doing? And his buddy looks up as he's taking his hiking boots off and putting his tennis shoes on. He says, I'm putting on my running shoes. And his buddy looks down at him and he says, it ain't any use to doing that. He says, you can't outrun that grizzly bear. And as his buddy's tying up his tennis shoes, he stands to his feet and he looks at his friend and he says, I don't have to outrun that grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. You know, that's sort of the way our mentality is, isn't it? And unfortunately, that's sort of the way it is in many, many churches as well. We have a real tendency of looking out for number one. We have a real tendency of thinking, hey, life's all about me. That's who it's about, and that's what it's about. If our churches especially can get to the place when we realize life's not about us, but number one, it's about Jesus Christ, and number two, it's about others. Now, isn't that basically what Jesus left us with regard to our marching orders? Isn't that basically what Jesus said when he was asked by a lawyer one time when he said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? I mean, isn't that basically what Jesus said when he said, well, I think I can narrow it down to these two things. Love God first of all and then love others. These are on these two commandments hang everything. Well, when churches would finally get to the point where that's really where we're focused, loving God first of all, and then it's not about us. It's about others. If we can come to the place in our own hearts and our own lives, and especially in our church, if we can get to that place, I don't mind telling you folks, it'll revolutionize your life and it'll revolutionize your church. Now, this is a fascinating story. It's about Jesus healing this paralytic. Now, the real heroes of this story are these four individuals. No name people. You don't have their names. And you never see them again in Scripture. But this story's all about them. These no-name people, they're not looking for the spotlight. They're Sunday morning saints who became Savior seekers. These are Sunday morning saints who became fanatical friends. They became a quad squad. They became mat movers. They became roof removers. They became load lifters. They became a conduit to the Lord. It's a fascinating, amazing story. And we don't even know their names. And you never hear about them again. But you see, they made a life-changing difference because they brought a friend to Jesus. Let me say that again. They made a life-changing difference because they cared enough, not about themselves. They realized, hey, life's not all about me. They made a life-changing difference because they brought a friend to Jesus. Now, here's a synopsis of the story, and then I want to zero in on these four focused and faithful friends. Now, go ahead and get your listening sheet out if you haven't already, after I just give you a brief synopsis of this, then I want to share four things with you. So get a pen or pencil, and you've got a listening sheet there in your bulletin. And as I mentioned to you last week, it's always a good practice to take notes anytime somebody's ministering God's Word, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or preacher or whomever. And it's just a healthy thing and a helpful thing for you to be in the habit of taking notes so that God can speak to you not only today, but you can dig those notes out later and God can continue to speak to you and teach you some things regarding God's Word and His truth. So go ahead and get that in hand. So here's the synopsis. Jesus returns to Capernaum. And He had done and has done some just marvelous works in and around that area. Now we are in Mark chapter 2. And look at verse 1. It says, again He entered into Capernaum after several days. And it was noised. That word noised is the word from which we get our word for acoustics. It's a Greek word that's where we get our word for acoustics. And it says that it was noised that he was in the house. I like that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen in the Mountain Grove area if word got out around town, hey, you know what happened down at First Baptist yesterday? Jesus showed up. Isn't that good? It was noised that Jesus was in the house. And that's a good thing. And it would be good if, in fact, that's the kind of word that starts floating out around town and out in this neighborhood and out in this region of Missouri. You want to go where you can get your needs met? You want to go where the Word of God is being preached? You want to go where Jesus shows up? First Baptist Church, Mount Grove. That's a good place. That's a good place right there. That's what happened here. It says that it was noised that he was in the house. Now look at verse 2. A crowd gathers quickly. And it says straightway in King Jimmy, a crowd gathers immediately. When you get the word out that something's going on, good. When you get the word out that Jesus is showing up, when you get the word out that First Baptist Church is a place where you can meet up with Jesus Christ and your life can get changed. And when that happened there, and I don't mind telling you folks, I contend it wouldn't be any different in the 21st century. I think we'd begin to see some crowds starting to show up. And that's what happened here. As a matter of fact, it got so filled so quickly, it was standing room only. Wouldn't that be a good problem to have here? I just started to say, if you were looking for a place to say amen, that's a pretty good spot right there. Wouldn't that be a good thing? If it gets to the place where, I mean, it's just standing room only thing. And that's what it was here. As a matter of fact, it was so crowded that you couldn't get another person in the door. That's what it says there. The crowd got pressed in so much that you couldn't get anybody else in the door. Now, in the midst of this house church gathering, a unique thing occurs. A man is brought into the house, even though you couldn't squeeze anybody else in the door. Well, how did he get in? Yeah, through the roof. Through the roof, because he's brought in being carried by four of his friends. He's a victim of paralysis. And he's being carried on a mat. The mat that he laid day and night on. And so he's being carried by four friends. We don't know who they are. We don't know their names. But by the time you read this story, they're famous. They're famous, but nameless. And he's laying on a mat, not unlike this one, by the way, because this came from that region of the world. And to this day, people still have these type of mats. That's their bed. That's what they sleep on. And so this man that was a paralytic couldn't move under his own strength is brought to this house where Jesus is. What's your name? Hi, Gavin. Join me right up there, would you please? Good deal. Good deal. He's thinking, oh man, don't look over here. What's your name? Pardon? Shane. Hey, Shane, come on up here, man. Come on up here. And these two gentlemen right here, come on. What's your name? Pardon? Seth. Hi, Seth. Shane, meet Shane. All right, come on up here, guys. Grab a corner. Get on each corner. Now, you got to get the picture. I want you to get the picture in your mind. There's a guy. Now, fortunately for you guys, I'm not going to bring somebody up here and lay him in the middle of that. Okay? All right. But you've got a man that's where he sleeps. And these four friends of his said to him, Jesus is in town. Jesus is in town. The healer is back in town. We've heard of what he does. And we've heard testimonies of people that have been blessed and touched by this man, Jesus. And we've come to take you to him. Now, get a hold of that thing, guys, because you got some weight in the middle of that, okay? So get with it, all right? There you go. Stretch it out because you don't want this guy, you don't want this guy to have a bumpy ride on his way to Jesus, okay? All right, so get on there tight. All right, now get the picture. Get the picture. I don't have any idea. We don't have any idea from Scripture how far they had to carry him. But they had to get to the house where it was noised that Jesus was in town. And he happens to be down at that particular house. And so these four friends go get their paralytic friend. Why would they do that? Well, they care about him. They love him. They know that he's got a need. Hey, listen, let all this stuff sink in because the fact of the matter is, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know anybody that needs to get near Jesus? Do you? And so consequently, they did. And they went to their friend. And they just picked up his bed with him on it. And I don't know how long they had to travel. But even if it was next door, it'd be a little bit of a trip. And they took their friend And then when they get to the house, they can't get in. It is so crowded that you can't get another person. And we ain't got now just another person. We got five people that want to get in this place, and that ain't going to happen. And that's the picture. Everybody got it? Everybody got a picture of that? Hey, guys, you did great. Thanks a bunch. Let them down gently. All right. Thanks a bunch. Let's hear it for these guys. Let me show you four things about these four famous but nameless guys. Number one, they were motivated by the Word. They were motivated by the Word. Now, I mean that from two perspectives. First of all, word got out around town that Jesus was there. You see that question on the screen? When was the last time that Jesus showed up in one of your church services? Well, and I don't mean to imply he hasn't, my friend. I just mean when Jesus shows up, isn't that something worth talking about at the local restaurant over coffee? Go like this. Isn't that something worth talking about when you're talking to your next door neighbor? Isn't that something worth talking about when you show up at work on Monday morning? Isn't that something worth talking about when you walk down the halls of your school? Hey, guess what happened at church yesterday? Jesus showed up. Lives got changed. People met up with the Lord. People brought their needs to Jesus, and Jesus met their needs. I saw it. I was there. Matter of fact, I experienced it myself. I even went down to the altar myself, and I did some business with God, just me and God down there at the altar. So you see, they were motivated by the Word. First of all, and the fact that word got out around town that Jesus was there. But then, note in verse 2, it says, straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as around the door. And he preached the word unto them. He preached the word. Listen, when that's what's taking place at First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove, when that's what's going on here at this pulpit, and that is what needs to go on at this pulpit, my friend, week in and week out, the fact of the matter is, whoever you have standing behind this pulpit needs to present to you the Word of God. And that's what, I'll tell you what, I love the fact. Word gets out that Jesus is in town, he's in this house church gathering, and what's he do? He preaches the word to him. Unashamed, unapologetic, because he knew that you shall know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. Do you need that today? There's somebody here that needs that. You shall know the truth. And there's only one place to get that, my friend, and that is from this book of truth. Well, why did these men go get their friend? Because they were motivated by the Word. Now, don't shortchange the ministry of God's Word. All right, now here's the second thing, and that is this. Not only they were motivated by the Word, but secondly, they ministered to the weak. Now look at verse 3. It says, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried by four. And you saw it. You saw it illustrated a while ago. These four friends These four friends went to their paralytic friend. And they couldn't say to him, "Hey, Jesus is in town. You want to go with us? Get up. Come on." Couldn't do that. Because they knew he wasn't able of his own strength and his own ability to get up off that mat and to go with them. So what'd they do? It's pretty simple. They said, "We came to take you to Jesus." I like that. Let's say that together. We came to take you to Jesus. Now let's personalize it, okay? I came to take you to Jesus. Say that again. I came to take you to Jesus. I mean, amazing. You know, it's good to have friends like that. It's even better to be one. Now, it would have been virtually impossible for this man to get to Jesus on his own. Not unlike some of your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Let me say that again. It would have been virtually impossible for that man to get to Jesus on his own, not unlike some of your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Are you starting to get some names flashing through your mind right now? Have you ever said, "Oh man, that person will never come to Jesus"? You ever said that about one of your relatives or one of your friends or just somebody that you know? "Man, that person will never..." Well, maybe not. If you don't help him, he won't. I'm just saying, I think probably you and I know somebody that needs Jesus in one way or another. You and I probably know somebody that needs their needs met, and Jesus can meet that need. But you see, Jesus maybe waiting on you to get a handle on the mat in order to take that person to him. Everybody following this? Hello? Everybody with me? I always try to just put the jam and jelly down on the bottom shelf where a short preacher can reach it, folks. I mean, is this making sense? I'm just telling you what the story is saying. Listen, you may need to give a friend a hand, and you may need to find a handle in order to help that person find Jesus. I'm telling you, there are people around you who need your help to carry a load. Don't leave people flat on a mat. You need to lift them to the Lord. All right, here's number three. Number one, they were motivated by the Word. Number two, they ministered to the weak. Number three, they made a way. They made a way. Look at verse 4. And when they couldn't come near to him because of the crowd, they looked at their friend and they said, "Wow, we at least had good intentions. Sorry, pal, we got to take you back home." Is that what it says in verse 4? Huh? Is that what they... what they did? Now, excuse me. I've been quoting from the Reversed Standard Version. That ain't what it says. What did they do? They stuck with it. They got to the house, but they couldn't get in. because there's standing room only. The crowd was so big, pushed against it, they couldn't squeeze another person through that door. And so faith found a way. Wow, say that again. Say that with me. Faith found a way. Say it again. Faith found a way. Do it again. Faith found a way. Looks like we're going to have to raise the roof on this one, man. And I got thinking about that. You get up on the roof. It's one thing to get up on the roof. It's another thing to get your friend up there. Obviously, these guys were MacGyver types, huh? They found a way. Well, let me ask you. You see, faith found the opening that doubt never would have. I want to say that again. Faith found the opening that doubt never would have. Now, how many times? And so how about you? You say, well, Jay, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know how bad my marriage is. Well, this is going to sound pretty cocky, but maybe you don't know how big my God is. I've watched God heal marriages that just look and thought, oh, man, there ain't any hope for this. Oh, yeah, there is. If you know God, if you know Jesus Christ, my friend, there's hope for your marriage. You with me? You say, Jay, you haven't seen my checkbook. You don't know how bad my finances are. Well, maybe we just need to get together and try to discover how rich our God is. You say, Jay, you don't know about my family situation. Is it in such a mess that it's bigger than God? That's all I'm asking you. And I'm telling you, faith found a way that doubt never would have sought after. And how many times have you been in a church business meeting and somebody said, well, I think we ought to do this. And somebody else said, well, you know, man, that costs too much. I learned a long time ago, my friend, if God orders it, He can pay for it. You ever been in a church situation where somebody says, I think we ought to do this, and somebody else says, oh, wow, that's way too big. Well, it might be way too big for your small God, but is it in fact bigger than the God of this universe? Everybody following what I'm saying here? What are your circumstances and what's your church situation? I just want you to know, they made away. This miracle was accomplished after faith had received its second wind. These men went to their friend and they said, listen, Jesus is in town. Hang on, we're going to go for a ride. And they got a hold of him. And they were motivated by faith, my friend. And they got to the house where Jesus was and they couldn't get in the door. But they didn't go back home. They said, okay, we got a little bit of a challenge on our hands. What are we going to do? And I'm telling you, faith made a way. You may have to interfere with inertia in order to help someone get close to Jesus Christ. You may have to get three of your friends together in order to get on every corner of the mat. They defied the crowd. They denied their doubt. They tore through the clay-covered saplings of the roof, and they made a way for a man that desperately needed Jesus. They made a way, and I'm telling you, they made a difference, just like you can in somebody's life. today, just like your church can in this entire community today, my friend. They made a way. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Here's number four. Number one, they were motivated by the Word. Number two, they ministered to the weak. Number three, they made a way. Number four, they modeled God's will. They modeled God's will. Now, they did that in two different ways, or let me show you two things about that. Number one, they demonstrated faith. They demonstrated faith. Now, I love this. Look at verse 5. When he saw, now this is Jesus, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, I don't know if you write in your Bibles, but I would encourage you to do this. You set one word. When Jesus saw their, see that? That's plural. Do you see that? Did this man have faith? Probably. More than likely. I'm going to assume he did, or he would have said to his friend, "Nah, forget it. Forget it. I don't want to go see Jesus." So I'm going to assume that he had faith. But that's not what it says there. When Jesus saw the paralytic's faith. It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? When Jesus saw... I love that. When Jesus saw their faith, they demonstrated faith. Listen, maybe four of you, maybe four of you need to get together. And you might say, "Hey, listen, I know a family that's got a need here. I know somebody in Mountain Grove that really needs Jesus." It might be from a spiritual standpoint. It might be for healing. It might be finances. It might be marriage. It might be family. It might be whatever. But I know somebody, and maybe you need to get three of your friends together and say, "Listen, will you hook up your shield of faith with mine, and we're going to go find somebody, a friend of mine that's laying on a mat, and we ain't going to stop until we get them to Jesus." Everybody with me? If four of you got together, I'm telling you, God could revolutionize your life. God could revolutionize the life of this church. God could revolutionize this entire community. They demonstrated faith. Now here's the last thing, and this, they modeled God's will. First of all, they demonstrated faith, and then secondly, he displayed forgiveness. Now, let me wrap this up and just show you the last of this story. The religionists, some of the religious people of the day were there, and look, beginning in verse 6, they were sitting there and they reasoned in their hearts, "Man, this man's speaking blasphemies. Who can forgive sin except God only?" And so Jesus turns to them and says, Did you not just see these four men desperate to bring their friend to have his needs met, and you're sitting around discussing the theological implications of this? How many times do we do that? "Well, I'm not sure about theological perspective that way. Can we sit around and try to figure that?" Listen, these four friends brought their paralytic friend to Jesus. What else you need to know? Let's get excited about that one. Everybody with me? But no, they're set. And so Jesus says to them, "Well, okay. I know my authority. I know that I've got the authority to forgive sins. But maybe you need another demonstration And so he turns to the man, and he says, "Get up. Get up. Take up your bed and go on back home." Now, what did he do? What did he do? The guy gets up. He gets up. He rolls his mat up. And let me tell you something. This is more Scribner than Scripture, but I can guarantee you this is what happened. He rolls his mat up. He probably gives Jesus a great big hug. And I'm telling you, at that point, I want you to know he is heading home and he ain't just walking out. The guy's been laying on his bed. He couldn't walk there. But I'll tell you, he didn't walk home. I bet he ran and skipped and hopped and jumped. You with me? Because he'd met Jesus. And I'm telling you, the first thing Jesus did, which I love, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." There's somebody here today that needs to hear that from Jesus. But then the second thing he did, and it really was for the benefit of these religious people, he turned to the paralytic and he said, "Get up. You don't need your four friends to carry anymore." And I'm telling you, I bet he ran and skipped and hopped all the way home. Because I want you to know, he had power from paralysis. This man became separated from sin that day. This man became a walking witness that day. This man had a spring in his step, and he had a mat on the move. He had hope in his heart. He had forgiveness on his face. He met Jesus on his journey. He had met the Master, and the Master had met his needs. You with me on that one? And this innocent invalid walked home under his own power, carrying his own pallet, the same pallet which had provided handles for four friends of faith. What a phenomenal story, my friend. So let me ask you, where are you today? Are you laying on that pallet and you need somebody to come and bring you to Jesus? You might. It might be. Things might be that tough today. Or are you the one that Jesus is saying, "Come on, friend, get up. Get up, my son, and go find three others. And go find that person that's laying on that mat that needs me. Go find them. And don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up until that friend of yours gets hooked up with Jesus." Let me pray with you. Father, help me to be this kind of friend. Help me to find the handle to help bring somebody that desperately needs Jesus. Help me to find the handle to help get them there. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.